The epistle for the first Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things, let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand, and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. The Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, it is written, not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, all these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So we've arrived at this first Sunday in Lent. In Latin, we call this season Quadragesima, the 40. Holy Mother Church insists on the fact that there be 40 days of Lent. And in fact, because it was always customary not to fast on Sundays, because it is the Lord's Day, and we do not fast, as our Lord said, while the bridegroom is with us. That's what our Lord said to the disciples of John the Baptist when they came and asked him why his apostles were not fasting as the Pharisees and as John the Baptist did. He said that the time will come when the bridegroom will no longer be with them, and then will they fast. And so it's always been customary that on the Lord's Day that we don't fast. So to keep the number of 40 days, we start the Wednesday before, the first Sunday of Lent, Ash Wednesday. Numbers in the Bible, in sacred scripture, sometimes have more than just a numerical meaning. Different numbers symbolize different things. For example, the number 2, St. Augustine says, is the number of charity, for there are the 2 great commandments which contain the whole law and the prophets, that we love the Lord our God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and with our whole mind, and love our neighbor as ourself for the love of God. These are the 2 great commandments, this number 2, the number of charity. Again, when our Lord, after talking to the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob, He went and dwelled 2 days in their cities. Again, this number two, he showed charity towards them. And then also we have the man at the pool of Probatica who was trying to make his way to the pool to be healed. And scripture tells us that he was 38 years under his infirmity. And St. Augustine points out that he was 40 minus two, minus the number of charity. So what about this number 40? The number four symbolizes the material world, the physical world. And this in part because of extra biblical reasons. You know, we know that the ancients thought that there were four elements of which the whole world was composed: air, fire, water, and earth. But also, and even more so, we have the four points of the compass. You know, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, they shall come and shall sit with Abraham in the kingdom of heaven. So this number four, it refers to the world, the whole world. And then the number 10. The number 10, because God gave us 10 commandments, has become the number of justice, the number of complete holiness. And so with 4 times 10, we get 40. The idea being that justice must reign throughout the whole world. The number 40, whether days or years, by God's providence, has come to mean the purging away of evil, of doing penance for sin. We see that when God wanted to wash away the sins of the world, to wash away the world from all sinful men, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights in the time of Noah. And only those who were just in the ark were saved. The Israelites had to walk through the desert for 40 years after they had murmured against God. You know, after the 12 spies had gone into the land of Israel to examine it, they came back and they told what they had seen there. And the men despaired. They said, no, it's a too strong of a country. We'll never be able to take it. Let us go back to Egypt. So they murmured against God. And for punishment, they had to walk through the desert for 40 years, during which time all the men over 20, all of those who had murmured, except for the two, Joshua and Caleb, who had not, all those who had murmured against God died. The law of Moses, too, when allowing for the scourging of men, when giving the laws concerning how men were to be punished, stated that they were not to exceed 40 lashes. 40 was deemed sufficient to repair for any wickedness. And finally, we have the example of the Assyrians, who were a wicked people, a pagan people. But God, wanting to have mercy on them, sent them a prophet, the prophet Jonas. Jonas, though, he didn't really like the idea of going to preach to the Assyrians. So instead of going east to Assyria, he got on a boat and went west. But you know what happened. The storm arose, Jonas was thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale until finally he decided to obey. He went to Nineveh and he preached. He said, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. God was giving them 40 days to repair for their wickedness, if they would. Perhaps they had heard the stories of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah when not even 10 just men could be found there. No, they listened. The king issued a proclamation instructing all his citizens to turn away from their evil. The king himself sat in ashes and in sackcloth. And of course, this is what God wanted that people to do. He wanted that they be converted, that they put away from them their evil ways and do penance. And this is what Lent is all about. We too are given 40 days, 40 days to purge ourselves from the attachments to this world, the attachments to the flesh and the devil. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust you shall return. Which reminds me, sorry, one other announcement. I will distribute ashes after Mass for any who are not able to come on Ash Wednesday. So remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust you shall return. That's what the priest says as he puts the ashes on your forehead. We are to humble ourselves, recognizing that we are sinners, to purge ourselves from the evil so that we might seek after a complete justice. What is there that we must separate from? What is it that is dragging us into the spirit of the world? There are many things which we may not think are evil, but are actually drawing us away from God. For example, we have today what some call music, this modern music, which much of it is explicitly wrong. Much of it is explicitly bad, and that we know we can't listen to. But some of it, while maybe not being so explicitly evil, still, it is nothing, there's nothing in it which appeals to our higher nature, which appeals to our intellect, but rather it seeks only to inflame our passions. It appeals to our appetites, the things which we have in common with the beasts, with the lower animals. And so it's drawing us towards this worldly spirit, towards the things of the world, rather than letting our mind go to God, to raise our mind to things of beauty. We are finite creatures. We have only so much strength. So which of these powers are we going to feed? Our intellect and our soul, or our passions? Which do we want to have the better over us? There are also all of the screens which fill our lives. This past week, in my sixth grade class, I teach them Bible history, and we're going over the transfiguration of our Lord when he appeared gloriously before three of the apostles. And the end of the chapter were the words, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead." And I told them, that's our Lord giving us our penance for Lent. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. They laughed. But is there something here that we could give up? Something that we need to separate ourselves from to draw ourselves away from the spirit of the world? Again, you know, many of these things may not be explicitly evil. They may even be okay for a little relaxation. But I asked my sixth grade class to try for Lent to give up their video games, to give up these things. You know, again, they might be all right here and there, but have we let them get out a little out of hand, perhaps? Has the time we spend indulging in these pastimes become inordinate? Well, then, we need to put things back in order by limiting our screen time. Again, many of these things may not be explicitly bad. If they are, well, then rooting these things out is something necessary for our salvation. If they're leading us into sin, then we have to get rid of them. But some of them are tools which can be used for a good purpose. But just like any dangerous tool, we must be careful to ensure that we're using them properly, erring rather on the side of caution than risking an injury which could be fatal. The flesh battles against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Which one is winning in our life? Do we detest the things which lead us into sin? Are we more afraid of the devil or of the occasions which lead us into sin? The devil cannot tempt us beyond our strength. As God's saint told Saint Paul, his grace is sufficient. But if we place ourselves willfully in an unnecessary occasion of sin, then we are tempting ourselves. We put an obstacle to God's grace. We must learn to hate these occasions of sin, to really despise the things which are leading us away from God. We must imitate the Assyrians of Nineveh. We must humble ourselves and see where we have need of mortification. As their king decreed, let everyone turn away from their evil way, from the iniquity that is in their hand. The Ninevites did penance and were spared. This, though, it made Jonas rather unhappy. He wasn't very glad about it. In fact, Scripture says that when he went to talk to God, he was exceedingly troubled and angry. He said, I know thou art a merciful God, compassionate and easy to forgive evil. I knew that you would forgive this wicked people, but Jonas wanted them to be clobbered. He wanted the Syrians to be destroyed, and so he didn't want to preach to them. And when at his preaching they were spared, he complained. But let his complaint be our prayer, our hope. We know that thou art a gracious and a merciful God, patient and of much compassion, easy to forgive evil. This is our God. As Psalm 90 in the tract today proclaims, because he hoped in me, I will deliver him. And as in the secret, we must pray that we may abstain also from harmful pleasures. Now, St. Paul tells us that now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. May we be purified from our former ways and join the company of the redeemed. Our Lord said at another time to the Jews that the Ninevites would rise up in judgment with their generation, because the Ninevites did penance at the preaching of Jonas. But we have the preaching of our Lord. We have our Lord's own example in the gospel today. He was led by the Spirit into the desert, away from the world. We read last week in the gospel that our Lord is going up to Jerusalem to be crucified. He is going to suffer for us. Let us go with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.